Man, thanks, Charles. Church, you can be seated. Man, we get to gather right here today without fear of being arrested or anything like that because of these sacrifices, so we're grateful for that. Guys, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 and 20 today. If you need a Bible, there's a Bibles back there on the table that are for you. We've got those for you, so please take one. That's where we're going to be at today. We're picking right up where we left off. We're walking through a series in the book of 1 Thessalonians called Real. And so that's where we're at today. Chapter 2, verse 17 through 20. Growing up, my family spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house. We hardly were ever. It's just we're always somewhere. Are you guys with me? You guys ever do that? You're always at someone else's house? Man, but I remember going to Grandma and Grandpa Vanderfort's house, and every single time when it was time to go, our goodbyes would take about an hour. Amen? Right? My parents would say, all right, kids, get your stuff. It's about time to go. Right? And because we wanted to obey and not get in trouble, we gathered our stuff, we got ready to go, and then another conversation would start up. We'd go and watch another show or play another game. Grandpa wanted to show us something else. And then by the time we got to our 13th goodbye hug, right, we actually made it to the car. And then we would sit in the car for another 15 minutes as more conversations happened. And then when we finally pulled out of the driveway, we pulled up the hill away from Grandma and Grandpa's house. We were all out the back window, right, Kim? Just waving at Grandma and Grandpa as they're out the back of their, you know, out in the road, just kind of waving at us. Man, I'll tell you what, if you've ever been at my house and have experienced that with me, I apologize, right? Just, I learned it young. You can blame my sister. So just kidding. Blame somebody. But I loved it, church. I loved it because our relationship with our family was just special, right? We long to see each other and then spend time with each other. Now we have things like Zoom and FaceTime, and those are great. I'm glad we have those because we've got family and friends all over the place and we can connect and talk to them, but nothing replaces being able to see friends and family face to face and spending time with each other. And as we look at our text today, we're going to see this special relationship between Paul and the Christians there at Thessalonica in that church. And we're going to see a model for us about the relationship that we should have with each other. We talked about this at the start of our series, but just a little bit of recap. God used Paul to plant a church in this city called Thessalonica. And so he and his missionary team, they go into this city, right, where God sent them. They built relationships, right? They had conversations. They did life together. They cared about their neighbors. They shared the word of God. They shared the gospel of Jesus. Paul was letting them know that Jesus, the one that had been crucified, right, the one that had been buried and rose again, he was the Savior, right? He was the promised Messiah. He was God in the flesh, and he came to save them from their sins and have a relationship with them. Paul's telling them that. And what we know is that Paul met these real people in this real city that needed the real gospel of Jesus. Thessalonica was full of people that were searching, right? They were seeking a lot of different things. They were seeking money. They were seeking sex. They were seeking power. They were seeking clout. They were seeking education, spirituality. But God knew that they needed the gospel. And so he planted a church there. And whenever Paul went out and shared that, those that were saved, they received and accepted, and we looked at last week, the word of God and the gospel. And what we see is that when they surrendered to Jesus, they were saved immediately, and then their lives began to be transformed. And Paul got to spend months with these new friends and these new Christians in this church before he was eventually run out of the city. You see, church, when Jesus saves us, right, then he sends each and every one of us out with the same mission that Paul had, specifically to tell others about Jesus and the gospel, to tell them that he loves them and that he has a life for them, a new life and forgiveness. And you know what happens was what happened at Thessalonica. One life at a time in this city, people were coming to know Jesus. And in the city, they started seeing real transformation, right? They were seeing the city turned upside down with the gospel. But the leaders and others in this city, they hated it. These Christians were surrounded by Jews that had put Jesus on the cross. They rejected Jesus. They were surrounded by people that bowed down to false idols. They were surrounded by people that were even worshiping Caesar. And this city, they wanted the message of Jesus to stop, right? It was impacting their life. And so they ran Paul and his team out of the city. But now this church and these Christians that remained there in the city, they were being opposed, right? They were in a city by people that opposed them, that abused them, that persecuted them. And although Paul loved them dearly, he wasn't able to stay. He had to flee so that he wasn't killed. And then our text today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, if you haven't turned there, turn there now, but just in four verses, we're going to see stuff that's just really good, great truth, application for us to know, remember, and apply to our lives, but also to our church here at Authentic Life. Last week, we covered the verses right before this where Paul reminded them. He said, hey, I brought you the true word of God, right? Remain in that, remain faithful to the word of God. And then now today, he's going to talk about his heart and concern for them as God's family. And so we're going to read this together. You guys follow along. Just that'd be weird to have everybody try to go through all this. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17 through 20, just follow along as I read. Paul writes this, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, but not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown or exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Let's pray before we dive in. Father God, we come to your word today. We gather as your people, online and here in person. And God, we pray, Lord, today that as we talked about last week, that we receive what you have today, we accept it. Give us humble hearts and submissive lives that we just live out what you are teaching us today. God, we pray, Lord, today that if there are people that are hurting today, that you would meet them where they are. If you have people in here that are just joyful today, again, meet them where they are. God, we pray, God, that you would be ever present and we would respond to what you are teaching us today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, leading up to this point, Paul has pointed out these lives, the real and authentic faith that this church was living out, right? I mean, we're Authentic Life Church, right? We want to live out a real faith for Christ. And so he points out the transformation in their life when they gave their life to Christ. He points out the contagious faith that they had. Other people are saying, man, something is happening over at Authentic Life Church in Thessalonica. I'm sure that was it's in the Greek somewhere, right? But church, I mean, they're saying there's something going on there that's contagious, right? He points out the good and godly example they had and that they were living out. He points out how they were sharing the gospel. He talks to them about what Christ-like leadership looks like, and he reminds them of the true word of God and encourages them to remain faithful to that word. Remember, what we see throughout this study is what it really looks like to walk with the Lord, to walk with one another, and to serve and love our community. This church was living all that out. Paul is highlighting it for us as we read through this letter. And today, the next thing he's going to point out is the relationship that believers should have with one another. Church, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the things that we are seeing in our culture as a very scary and dangerous trend is the lack of having a genuine relationship with others. Other Christians, others in the church family. It's almost as if in the Western world, many have bought into the lie of Satan that one another does not matter. But Paul points a completely different picture for us this morning. So let's walk through this passage today, and we're going to see what God is teaching us about one another. Look at verse 17. Paul writes this, but we brethren, your Bibles may say brothers or sisters, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face. I almost feel like this could be a theme verse for us as we pursue and focus on real relationships with each other. And in this verse, Paul first highlights the family. When we come to Jesus, when we are saved, we are immediately, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, that we are immediately brought into the family of God. Ephesians 5:1 tells us that we are fully adopted into the family of God. You know, there's a saying out there that says, hey, in the world, we're all God's children. Unfortunately, that's not true. We were all created in the image of God. We were all created to have a relationship with God. But sin caused that division. We become part of the family of God when we trust in God and we give our life to him. That's what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul is saying to them, look at this. He doesn't address them as friends or homies or fellow church members, right? He doesn't do that. Not that any of those are bad. We should be friends and homies and fellow church members, right? Especially the homies part. I think that makes really good sense. But Paul goes to the best part of the relationship. He says, we're family. When he says brethren, he's referring to the reality that we are brothers and sisters brought together by Christ. We have family here on earth, church. Amen, right? We're brought together by blood, by adoption, and by marriage. But this is speaking of our eternal family, adopted and brought together by the blood of Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, if you're here today, if you believe in Jesus and believe that he died for your sins and rose again, right? If you know, if you've confessed that he's Lord of your life and you've called on him to save you from your sins, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that you're saved. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if you're saved, then you're part of God's family. Right? And so you are now brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the first thing on your notes on the back of your bulletin is this: as Jesus followers here at Authentic Life Church, but also with all of Christianity, we are family. We're family. We're not just part of a social group together. We aren't just Christian club members that gather weekly. We are family. Right? The goal in God's design for earthly families is that we love one another, care for one another, and are there for one another. You know, Jessica and I do a lot of work, and our church does too. We do a lot of work within the foster care system. We know that not everybody experiences God's design for the family. There's a ton of brokenness, but here's some good news. No matter where you are or what you've experienced, if you are saved, the Bible tells us that you are immediately brought into the family of God, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world and family that you're going to be stuck with for eternity. Amen? Like, so let's get good at loving each other. God's design is for us to also have brothers and sisters in our local church, the local family, so that we can love each other and care for one another and be there for each other. And what we see here in verse 17 is that Paul knew that they were family. And so what does he do? He loved them as family. We kind of love family a little different, don't we? He loved them as family. Paul's knowing that they were family brought together by his God, that reality changed how he saw others and loved them. And so now he has this genuine love and concern for one another. Church, we must know that we're family. If you're saved here today, we're family. That's it, man. We're family. And when we truly understand that and see that, it will change how we love one another. Here's the reality. If y'all don't love each other as family, you haven't got the picture yet that we're family, right? That's just it. Paul writes this: we brethren, right, having been taken away from you for a short while in person, but not in spirit or not in heart, we're all the more eager with great desire to see your face. Paul had a special relationship with them. He was teaching. He was leading them. But he also did life with them, right? And since when he was forced to leave, he's unable to get back to them, he says that he is eager, right? He has a great desire to see their face. Church, God has hardwired you and me to have relationships with him and with one another. Paul says, I miss that. I remember when COVID hit, I shared this passage a couple times when we were doing church online, this particular verse. Man, we're more eager, all the more eager, with great desire to see your face. I know we were able to gather online, and we were grateful for that. Praise God for that, amen? I mean, we still got to be united during all of that. I was so grateful to God that we're able to do that, and we still have people that for many different reasons are unable to join us, and they're still doing that, so we're grateful that we can do that. And even hi, guys. I'm just talking to you online right now. Man, there are people watching throughout Tucson that haven't been a part. They've never been in here, and they get to hear the gospel. Like, it's great. We didn't stop our life groups during that time. We moved them to Zoom for a period of time, right? Well, a lot of our meetings were on Zoom, and sometimes we just figured out that that's just the best way to do it, right? To have Zoom's meeting on Zoom. Being able to connect for a time in that way was great. But church, Paul nails it here. We were meant to do life face-to-face together. Acts 2:42 tells us of the early church. It says they were devoted to fellowship. You know what the word fellowship means? Baptists get really good at calling it like potlucks, okay? And I praise God for that, okay? You can tell. But here's the thing. Fellowship doesn't mean that. Fellowship means partnering and sharing. That's what the word means. So we're to be together, right? And then you go on past 2:42 and it says they were together and they shared meals together and they shared life together. They shared homes together. They shared money together. And Paul's desire here is to have that devotion, to be with them, to have that fellowship and see them face to face. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you, I love that this verse is in the Bible because I tell people all the time, Caleb, I missed your face, right? And people are like, that's really weird. It's in the Bible, people, right? But it's that face-to-face relationship and interaction that Paul desires with God's family, church, and we should desire the same. I'll tell you what, y'all know that I'm a little bit extroverted, okay? Like, I need to be around people, okay? So it was super hard for me when we got to, like, do online for a bit, man. I was just going crazy. My wife was like, just go for a walk or something, right? But you know what just warmed my heart is when people were saying, Pastor, I just want to get back in person. No matter what we have to do, let's get back in person. People said, online is great. I'm glad we have it. But there was this desire to see each other face to face. You know why you have that desire? Because God hardwired you for that. Let's look at a few other passages that speak about our relationship that we should go a little bit deeper than we normally do. In fact, we're going to see two commands from God when it comes to relating to one another, just so we take it seriously. Look at 1 John 4:21. It'll be up on the screen. John reminds us of this. He says, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. In the verses prior to this, John is correcting a false belief and a false living out by some that said, hey, I can love God, but I don't have to love one another. That's not biblical, church. And John is saying they go together, right? Here's what John is saying, church. One cannot fully love and follow God without fully loving his brother or sister in Christ. Let's be honest, okay? I'm going to get everybody to say amen on this one, okay? Jesus is easier to love than we are, right? He's perfect, and we're not. You and I are not always easy to love. But because we love God, we are to love his family. John 13:34, you're still not convinced. Jesus says this himself. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Here's the new part. Even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. How did he love us? Man, he sacrificed. He was patient. He was gracious. He was forgiving. He came to be with us. Are you with me, church? That's the love. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Church, to love one another in this way is to be intentional. I'm going to say something that's going to go a little counterculture, okay? This type of love does not happen in 1 hour on a Sunday. It doesn't. It doesn't happen in 1 hour. So Paul was intentional. He says in chapter 2, verse 8, that he was well pleased to share his life with them. And following that example, we're to be intentional. And so just two notes under being family is this. As Jesus followers, because we're family, we've got to intentionally pursue real relationships with one another so that we can truly love one another. We have to be intentional about pursuing real relationships with one another so that we can truly love one another. It takes intentionality because it's an eternal investment. But it's worth it, church. It's worth it because we were made to be in relationship with one another, and we are definitely, we say this all the time, but we are definitely better together, not because it's a cool little slogan that we put up on our screen, because that's the way God designed it. Right? We have to pursue and be intentional about our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Like, it doesn't just happen overnight. We got to be intentional about that. And the same goes for us. We have to intentionally pursue and love one another in order to have the real relationships. Here's my question for you. What does that look like in your life? Are you one that says, man, I get the relationship that I need in 1.5 hours on Sunday? Right? Right? Are you with me, church? Like, what does that look like in your life when it comes to Authentic Life Church? Are you pursuing real relationships with one another? For the summer, unless we go back to 2 services, right, because we have to, which would be a great problem to have, we're going to have 1 service. But here, isn't this great? Here's one thing that I would love to see from you guys. Derek was talking about being able to, like, get up and just kind of chill out for a while. I didn't know what to do with myself this morning. You know, normally I'm here at, like, 7 or something, you know. I would love it, church, if we got here a little early on Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, 10:15, just to talk and engage and encourage one another. Because I will tell you, the ones that come and talk to me and say, I'm feeling disconnected, and don't get me wrong, life is tough. I've got 3 kids under, like, 8 years old. I get it. Amen? Yeah, everybody can say that, okay? But the sacrifice is worth it because this is our family and it matters. So let's allow the time to that. Just be here to connect with your brothers and sisters. Church, I'd also love to encourage you to connect with a life group, right? This is where real relationships get real. Jesus did it. He got his thousands. He had his hundreds. He had his 12. He had his three. Right? Relationships happen in smaller groups where we can get to know each other and grow together. And by the way, church, if we can learn something from this past COVID season, here's the truth. We can take one another for granted. But the prayer is that during this time that we've realized just how very important we are and being together is. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of being together. I was encouraged last week when Emily stood up here. She has her RoboCop glasses on back there. You know, she had some eye surgery going on, and she got up here last week and just shared her heart. And she just said, church, I'm so grateful that you cared for my family and you prayed for my family and for the doctors and you served their family during their difficult time. There's a lot of stories like that at Authentic Life Church, so let's keep it up, right? But let's grow in that. What would it look like if we all did that? All right, so Paul expressed his deep desire to see their face. And remember, he's not only their brother in Christ, but we also saw last week that he came to them sacrificially and compassionately as a mother would, right? And also as a spiritual father, encouraging them and teaching them. So his relationship with them was, and for them, his love for them was pretty deep. But then he says this in verse 18, he says, for we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. Truth number one is this, church, is that we are family. The second truth that Paul points out is this, is we have an adversary. As Jesus followers in the church, when it comes to one another, we have an adversary. Paul desired, he longed to be with these people, to help them and encourage them and teach them and lead them, but also just to be with them. But Satan hindered them from coming back. Church, when we see the name Satan, we need to know what his name means. The name Satan literally means adversary. Ultimately, he's God's adversary. But because we belong to God, but because we're part of the family of God, but because Jesus so loved us, he is our adversary as well. And Paul says that the adversary, Satan, hindered them from coming back. The word hindered is important. It means this, to cut into, listen to this one, to impede one's course by cutting off their way. It also means to detain and to hinder. And here's the truth, church. We shouldn't be, you know, freaked out by Satan or anything like that. We're on the winning team, amen, right? But Satan spends his time as an enemy of God and God's people, constantly opposing God's work and what God calls good. And if God says that being together is good, Satan is going to hinder that. It's just a reality. Here's the reality. When Jesus was on earth during his ministry, Satan over and over again tried to hinder, detain, and derail Jesus and his mission. But the good news is this. Church, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, and death will not overpower it. Satan has and will continue to try to hinder God and God's people. He will attempt to hinder God's church, but Jesus continues to build his church, and even the power of Satan and hell will not overpower it. But he will try to hinder and oppose God and his church. We have to be aware of that. He will try. Satan will try to tempt us. He will try to get us to quit. He will try to get us to think going to church or life groupers connecting with one another is not important. He will try to get in our way. He will try to take us out of the game. He will try to destroy our relationships. He will try to destroy our churches. He will try to destroy our marriages. He will try to destroy our families. He will try to keep us in sin and hinder us from walking with the Lord and spending time with him and with each other. But listen to what 1 John 4:4 says. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Satan may be our adversary, he may be our enemy, but when we are saved, Jesus comes to live within us. The Holy Spirit resides within us, which means this, God is in you. If you are saved, the power that raised Jesus from the grave is in you. And God is by far greater, stronger, and more powerful and smarter than all of Satan's tricks and tactics. Greater is Christ who is in us. When we are facing the enemy, we can remind ourselves, and it might be helpful to remind him as well, that we belong to Jesus, and Jesus is greater in every way. when we think about this passage, Paul wanted to be with them for a few reasons. One, because he loved them, right? They were family. But two, he was their leader, church, right? He was their leader. He wanted to see them pursue Jesus. He wanted to see them grow in their walk with Christ. He wanted to keep teaching them. He wanted to see them remain faithful to God's word. And Satan was doing everything in his power to keep Paul and his team from helping them and from being with them. And so Paul is making them aware, hey, I didn't abandon you, right? I want to be with you. But he's reminding him, hey, we've got an adversary that wants to hinder our walk with the Lord and hindering us from telling others about Jesus. We've been talking about relationships all morning because our relationship with the Lord and one another is vital, church. But Satan, our adversary, we just got to own it. He wants to destroy that. He does. He wants to destroy it. God created us to be in a personal relationship with him and with one another. And from the very beginning, Satan has attacked both. Genesis chapter 3, Satan attacked the relationship and trust between God and man. What did he do after that? He caused division between husband and wife. And then he caused division between brothers Cain and Abel. And throughout Scripture, he continues to attack our relationship with God and our relationship with God's people, and he continues to attack the relationships in the church. You know why? Because the enemy wants to cause division and disunity, because if we are not united, we cannot accomplish much for Christ. We live in a community, church, that is 90 to 95% unchurched. Statistics tell us that if Jesus were to come back today or we were wiped off this planet, 90 to 93% of the people in this city will die and spend eternity in hell. We don't have time to be divided. We don't have time for disunity. But the Bible teaches us to protect and fight for the unity of the church, right? To glorify Christ, to serve and love one another, right? That's God's design. The enemy wants to hinder that. You know what we do whenever we have a membership class? We ask every single person to sign a covenant. And part of that covenant is saying, I will do my best to protect the unity of Authentic Life Church. Because when we are united and pursuing real relationships and standing firm in God's word, we grow and we can be used by God to impact the city around us. One more about the enemy, just in case you're not quite sure that he's after us. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be of sober mind. That means be alert, be aware, right? Have a clear mind. Be on the alert. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Me and my boys like to watch National Geographic. My wife yelled at me yesterday because I literally typed in lions attacking hyenas. She said, Jeff, I want to see like polar bears swimming with their babies. You know, I want to see all that stuff. We did, didn't we, Jax? We watched lions eating hyenas. I'm that dad, guys. I'm sorry. But what do lions do? They prowl around. They wait. They're patient. And they look for the weak, those that are not unified, those that are not with the pack, those that think they can do it on their own. This is just a reminder that we are best when we're walking with the Lord and when we walk together. And then we finish by looking at these last two verses. Paul writes this, for who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul was with them originally, right? They're building up their church, but now he finds himself unable to even get back to them. And they're both facing persecution, and Satan is hindering both sides, right? But Paul reminds them, and he points them where their eyes should be on eternity, right? He speaks of the hope and the joy and the crown that they can look forward to together. And so our last truth is this. As Jesus followers, together we live with eternity in mind. Paul begins by speaking of their hope. Man, I love this, man. I really like it. I love sports. I love it, right? When my team wins, we have this hope that our team wins. Go Chiefs. Amen. No? Three of you? All right. Go Chiefs. All right. Okay. There we go. Amen. Man, I'm going to get egged. All right. But we have like this hope that the Chiefs win. But this is a blessed hope, church. This is a confident and assured hope in Christ. This isn't I hope so, it's I'm telling you so. Right? We have hope, we have assurance that although this past year has been tough, right? Although we may face opposition or persecution, even when loving one another is really hard, we have hope and this assurance that we're going to be together with Jesus forever. We have this assured hope that Jesus is coming again and we are going to be with him together for eternity. This is a promise that we have in Christ. Here's the reality, church. Y'all better figure it out here, like this unity stuff, because you're going to be stuck with each other for eternity. And whether you like it or not, you're stuck with me. All right? But here's the thing. Knowing that, it changes how we live. Paul speaks of joy. We have joy as followers of Jesus when the world around us is heavy and hard. When our heart and mind are on Jesus, we can still have this joy. That doesn't mean we're going to be happy, but we have this eternal joy. Paul could have allowed his separation and opposition to derail his joy. But when he looked to heaven, when he looked at them being together with Jesus, he had joy in his heart. He had joy that they were on the same mission together. They were pursuing Jesus together. They were pursuing the same thing together. He had joy because they were all going to be together with Jesus, and that brought him joy. My boys, well, all of them, have been listening to some old songs that I grew up with, and one that I love hearing them sing is, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." There you go. Yeah, and it says, "Down in my heart to stay." Amen, church? Man, I just love that. No matter what's going on around us, we have this joy, this hope that's there to stay. It's in Christ, right? One day, the hard, the sickness, the darkness, the division will all pass away, and we're going to be with him together forever. And Paul lastly speaks of the crown of exaltation. The word for crown here is the Greek word stephanos. They would have been familiar with this word. The crown is really the wreath. Think about the Olympic Games. Get your mind thinking about that. The old pictures where they place the wreath on them. That's what he's talking about. There's that wreath, that crown that is placed around your neck at the games when you completed and won the race. That's what Paul is talking about here. Church, we're running this race together. We are not alone. Paul was encouraging them and pointing them to Jesus and eternity to motivate them to run the race and to run it together until they are with Jesus forever. Church, here's the reality. Jesus loves his church. His design is that we love one another and desire to be together, to see faces, to communicate, to encourage. Don't let the Western culture mentality of, I'm going to show up for an hour and 15 minutes, just check that. Let's not do that. That's not real relationships. The desire is for us to be together, to do life and ministry together, to serve and walk and pray for one another, encourage one another. I'm just going to tell you what, I sat back there in the back and I was just smiling because I love y'all. I love seeing your faces. I was just encouraged. Let's be encouraged that God has provided us this family to love and pursue. And even though there is a real enemy who wants to hinder us, greater is Jesus who is in us. So we can be who God has called us to be. We can be unified and we can run this race together with hope and joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, church. Father, we come to you grateful for what you're doing. The Bible tells us clearly, it's not me, it's not someone else. You are building your church. And the gates of hell will not overpower it. Jesus, this is your church. And we are your people. But God, I have to wonder if there's someone here in person or online that's watching this that said, I don't have that family. I'm not a part of that. Jesus, when we deserved nothing, you gave everything. While we were still sinning and rebelling against you, you died for us. And God, I pray, Lord, today that if there's anybody here in this room or anybody online that's listening, that they would understand that sin in our life has separated us from a holy God, but Jesus came to fix that. Jesus came to live the perfect life. Jesus came to die in our place, to carry and become our sins. Jesus died on the cross for us. But he didn't stay dead. Just as we were told in Scripture, he rose again on the third day. And God, we celebrate that. God, you tell us in the Bible that if we confess you as Lord and believe that Jesus died and rose again, we'll be saved. And so, God, I pray, Lord, today, if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus, that you would draw them near to you, God, that you would convict them of that, to turn from them being in charge or whatever it is that they're pursuing, and they would just rest in the arms of Jesus, and they would call on Jesus to save them from their sins. God, we pray for that today. God, we also pray for those that are in here At Authentic Life Church, we are pursuing real relationships with you, with one another, with our community. And God, we've got to be intentional about that. And so God, we pray, Lord, that you would convict our hearts and call us to repent and turn to you if we are not pursuing real relationships here at Authentic Life. Help us make that possible. Help us sacrifice the 15 or 30 minutes to spend just a little bit more time with each other. One another is loved by you, and so we must love one another. So God, talk to your people during this time. In Jesus' name, with your eyes closed, just spend that time with God. What is God convicting or just speaking to you or reminding you, or maybe he's just encouraging you. Spend time with God on that. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm not part of the family of God. I've never been saved. I've never been forgiven of my sins, but I want that. I need Jesus. If that's you today, I just want to ask you to look me in my eyes and slip your hand up in the air and just look at me, and I'm going to know you want to be saved. Or maybe you have questions. So if that's you, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But know this, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to know Christ. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't wait. Put your hand up and say, today's the day I want to know Christ. And just look me in my eyes. If you're online, go to the connection card or right there in the comments, just type Jesus and I'll call you today. What could God do in and through Authentic Life if we pursued him and pursued a relationship with one another? Just think about what God could do.